You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible. And what do you know? Breaking news has struck as the Chicago Bears have a brand new head coach. Ryan Poles didn't take much time as he decided that his guy to lead this team is going to be the Colts defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, the 51-year-old that was able to turn a porous Colts defense into a pretty good one over the past couple of years. So no Dan Quinn, it's Matt Eberflus. So we have Ryan and Matt 2.0 yet again, and it's time to break down all of this breaking news. I'm Russell DeWitt. Joined with me is Nicholas Moriano. Nick, what are you thinking right now? Just your initial gut reaction to this hire?
You know, obviously it was going to be one of the three candidates, I think, if, you know, Ryan Poles didn't go out and search for other people that he was interested in. But I think with these three guys that the Bears identified being Dan Quinn, Jim Caldwell, and Matt Eberflus, obviously, who's now the Bears' 17th head coach in team history, there was must have been talks about, hey, they're the five-panel team talking to Ryan Poles. This is who we've identified, and do these guys kind of work with you? So there's probably some collaboration going into this, to be completely honest, Will. But the initial reaction is, like, I think the guy – what the Bears did in terms of hiring Matt Eberflus, they brought in a guy that will really – not take any slack. If he sees something that, you know, a particular player is not doing well, you're going to know about it, very upfront, but also just honest with his players. And I think he provides that leadership that, you know, this team, I think, could use in their head coach, someone that they can look up to, but be held accountable as well. Because Roquan Smith so many times last year, Will, regardless of the press conference it was in, especially after those bad defensive performances, he always kind of said something about people need to look at themselves in the mirror, hold themselves accountable. Well, man, Matt Eberflus is going to make sure that happens on, like, every single snap, every single practice. And it's going to start really early on in the summer here at Halas Hall and just with this Chicago Bears organization. So that's who the Bears are getting. And out of the top three guys that I just mentioned, he was the one that I was kind of leaning towards as if they're going to hire one of these three guys. I'll let it be Matt Eberflus. But that's just kind of the initial reaction from me and now this new hire.
Yeah, I was telling you right before we went live, because you texted me last night and said, Will, you better be ready because I feel like a move is happening soon. So I took some time and got some good notes for Dan Quinn and Matt Eberflus, and I was talking myself into a more Dan Quinn just due to having that head coaching experience, perhaps being able to bring a more seasoned staff into Chicago with having, I guess, a little bit more pull around the league. So with Matt Eberflus, I think right now that's my biggest question mark or concern is, who does he bring in for offensive coordinator? How can he build a staff? Who are those guys going to be? And obviously, you know, Nick, he must have really sold it to Ryan Poles about, like, how he's wanting to construct this. And as high as we were on Poles the other day, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that this is the right man for the job, the correct leader in Halas Hall. You mentioned it. He doesn't take any loafing whatsoever. And if you go back to Adam Johns' article about the Matt Nagy era and how you're hearing about the walkthroughs just being, you know, kind of just horrible, and like the attention to detail wasn't there and people weren't being held accountable, and that's why we saw all the mistakes that we saw on game day. At least with Matt Eberflus, I expect that to get turned around immediately, and that should have a big impact on this team on both sides of the ball, all three phases. So right back to you, Nick. A lot of chatter I see in the chat right now is, well, what about the offense? We wanted an offensive guy to kind of help Justin Fields. Why can Matt Eberflus still succeed despite not having an offensive background?
Well, I think the big thing with even, like, if you look at Dan Quinn, too, like when he was hired to be the Falcons head coach, like he had no connection to whether it was a Matt LaFleur or a Kyle Shanahan. And he brought those guys in to work under his staff. So I think what we obviously don't know is like the connections that Matt Eberflus has made throughout the years. What he's has over, I think it's almost 20 years of coaching experience, something around that. And like, we just don't know what connections this guy has. So, but here's what should maybe encourage Bears fans. Like, yes, we don't know the questions that are going to be surrounding, like, who's going to be on this offensive staff, who's going to be the OC, how that's all going to shape out. But you know the defense is going to be perfectly fine under Eberflus and what he's able to do. So, to answer your question, Will, like, I think we just got to wait and let it see how this roster kind of, you know, eventually kind of comes to fruition here with the people that he's thinking of bringing in. And we just, you can go through his resume and see where he's been. And that won't necessarily give you the guy that he's going to bring in as his OC, as his quarterback's coach, as, you know, all this offensive staff that's going to be coming in. Because, again, there are a lot of connections that we don't hear about. And that's how Dan Quinn was able to get, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan to Atlanta. Never had worked with them before. And obviously you see where they're at right now in their respective careers. So it's going to be a little wait and see. And I think we'll get some clarification in the next coming days, hopefully, maybe even the next week or so, just to see how this complete roster, this coaching staff comes together.
And just because he has a defensive background doesn't mean the offense can't get it together under the right guidance on that side of the ball. Again, I took notes for both candidates last night. Dan Quinn, when he was in Atlanta, did have a top 15 offense every single year. And again, he has a defensive background too. So Matt Eberflus can bring in someone to run the offense. And based off of what I understand from Eberflus, you know, he can oversee the entire operation, but he will bring someone in that he trusts, you know, wholeheartedly to run that offense. I don't think he would have, you know, much say into it. Again, we'll hear from him directly. That's just my gut feeling right now. And I think that's the biggest one I see in the chat is like, we needed an offensive direction. And I understand that, but I am trying to trust the process here just a little bit and kind of take it easy. Even though I think it is easy again to want an offensive background just due to how the league's trending and getting the most out of our young quarterback in Justin Fields. But I do think just because Eberflus has a background on defense, you can't just say the offense is not going to get attended to or even put on a better track. Matt Nagy was supposed to be an offensive guru, and look where we were, bottom of the league for the past couple of years. What do you want to say to, like, maybe some people don't like to hire? Can we convince them otherwise?
I think one thing that we should say, this is Ryan Poles' guy, you guys. I mean, this is he after Ryan Poles was hired, we saw how the Bears were kind of writing the little, takeaways from each press conference. Ryan Poles interviewed. So it's just him conducting these interviews. But what should give maybe Bears fans some confidence is that, hey, he made this hire. Yes, he's only 36 years old, but you want your general manager to be the guy that goes in, assesses who these candidates are, and said, I want this guy. I think this guy can lead the Bears to, you know, that sustained success that we were kind of talking about when Ryan Poles was hired. Well, I want him. So just in that sense should give Bears some confidence. But I was reading an article yesterday by The Athletic writer Stephen Holder, and it's titled, Colts Matt Eberflus Wants to Be an NFL Head Coach, and Here's Why It May Happen. This was January 4th, 2021. It said in the article that he was already planning to be a head coach in that offseason. So he already developed a plan to be implemented if and when the opportunity presented itself. So this is a guy that is going to take the time and effort to put a game plan together. He did that for a head coaching, you know, opportunity. Imagine what these game plans are going to look like defensively. And also in that article, it says he goes to great lengths to disguise coverages, making it harder for QBs. And like every single defensive coordinator, I'm sure does. But I think Matt Eberflus just takes it to another level. And another like little Bears connection, he actually went and kind of got some advice from Lovie Smith back when he was a defensive coordinator with the St. Louis Rams at the time. So looking to get those, I think he called them influencers. That was one of his influencers, Lovie Smith, and what he was able to do. So seeing the detail-oriented that Lovie Smith was, seeing how he could pick that up here, Matt Eberflus, there are things that you can like about him. And I guess like that accountability, Will, I think is going to be really cool to see when, you know, at training camp, how he's on some of these players, seeing just the energy that he can bring. But in that same article, it also had some positives and negatives for Matt Eberflus as a candidate. Said leadership was definitely number one. Player development was that second subtopic. And as all Bears fans know, since Matt Nagy got here in 2018, that there wasn't enough of that. Or it was just very inconsistent in terms of player development. And he highlights, look at Darius Leonard, Grover Stewart, Kahari Willis, Bobby Okereke, and Julian Blackman, all guys that were able to kind of just develop and become, you know, integral into what the Colts do defensively. And the highlight of one player specifically, his name's Anthony Walker, his rookie season played 11% of snaps. And then starting in 2018, when Eberflus got there as a DC in Indianapolis, Walker eventually became a mainstay in that defense. And, you know, the previous regime was actually thinking about, hey, we want to actually cut Walker. We don't think he can make it here. But Eberflus saw something different and was able to develop him into the player that he is today. So seeing that he could bring that out of certain players, that is enticing and intriguing in itself, because we just didn't see enough of that here in Chicago.
No, we didn't. I'm thinking of Eddie Jackson. Imagine Eberflus's reaction to some of those half effort tackles that we see from him over the past couple of years. And I know towards the end of last season, we saw a better side of an Eddie Jackson. So I'm not trying to say it was all bad. However, I do see Eberflus holding, you know, players like that accountable, that if they're not giving that effort, whether it's in practice, through a walkthrough, or right there during a game, you know, put them on the bench, chew them out, whatever you need to do to motivate them to get them to do their damn job. And that's something that we didn't see all too much during the previous regime. It was more just complacency. And I think that's the last thing we're going to see from a Matt Eberflus, is a complacent football team. When I look at, you know, his defense and what it did last year in Indy, second in takeaways, that gets me excited. Comes from that disguising coverage. And I would argue that the Bears have more talent on defense than the Indianapolis Colts, so he can maximize that to a higher degree. Ninth in points allowed, middle of the road, 16th in yards allowed, which again tells me a little bit of bend, don't break. But the one, I guess, I'm not going to call it a red flag, but it's something I'm going to be curious about to see if it carries over to Chicago or if it was just something last year with the Colts. But 25th in red zone defense. So they were the seventh worst in that regard last year. And obviously, if you are allowing teams to put up the yards and you're allowing them to score in the red zone, that's not a recipe for success. But the turnovers did help them tremendously. All right, so you said there are some negatives. Obviously, no head coaching experience is one of them, at least right now. However, if you are getting a guy with head coaching experience, something must have happened wrong at that previous job for him to be available now. Again, I already mentioned my questions about him building a staff, and I don't know if this is a con or not, Nick, but I want your input on his defensive scheme. He runs a 4-3 defense instead of a 3-4, so we could be having a changing of the guard, as you will here in Chicago. I know Khalil Mack, you know, used to be really good in a 4-3 in Oakland. Robert Quinn, same thing over there in Dallas with the hand in the dirt rusher, and really how teams are in, you know, sub packages more than ever. And I saw, you know, different alignments under even you know, last year as well. Does it matter at the end of the day anymore?
I don't know if it really does, Will. To be completely honest, when you're in that nickel package, what, 70% of the time nowadays in the NFL? Yes, when, you know, you're facing a heavy run team, I think you'll see more of that 4-3 out there when you're taking out that nickelback and getting that extra linebacker in. But I think, like all good coaches, you adjust to the personnel that you have or that you'll go to acquire through the draft or free agency. So for me, the 4-3, 3-4 thing, it's not too big of a transition nowadays. I think it was more of a big deal when who was it? Was it Mel Tucker that kind of brought that in initially? Maybe I'm just drawing a blank here. But
for the 3-4,
when the Bears, when they first transitioned to it, it seemed like it just okay. So maybe I just don't think it's as big of a deal. I think the Bears do have playmakers that can make either scheme work. Like I said, there's so much flexibility and versatility. You saw what Sean Desai was kind of doing with the Bears this past season, putting guys in different spots at times and maybe maxing out one side, putting a Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack on one side, having them stunt. So much can be done with that nowadays that doesn't really concern me too much. And I'm just kind of looking at his resume here, Will. And, you know, with the Dallas Cowboys in 2016, 2017, has linebackers coach and passing game coordinator. I remember trying looking that up. Wait, Eberflus was, you know, kind of had both of these roles here, but having a little bit background of the offense, even to a certain extent for a year. Then if you look everywhere else, it's primarily defense, but you got the experience, just a little bit there, just kind of look into it. But to answer your question, it doesn't concern me too much because, again, good coaches know how to maximize the talent that they have. That's exactly – and you mentioned it. There's a lot of talent still on this defense that can be maximized, and there's still potential, obviously. So regardless of how it shapes up on game day, what the alignments, the fronts look like, I think Matt Eberflus is going to have this defense ready to go for whoever the opponent is.
Yeah, that's really where I'm at as well. On top of that, too, I'm still seeing a lot of people not liking this hire in the chat. I don't know. Where do you want to take this right now? Obviously, we know a little bit about him. excuse me. Something that, again, my friend here tells me is he is a little too passive in those key situations. And again, I think I used the parallel a couple episodes ago, you know, Chuck Pagano-esque in those kind of spots where you are playing a little bit too soft, a little bit too prevent-like. And, you know, we've seen that, at least I have, being in the Indianapolis market over the past year when, you know, they had games pretty much wrapped up and then they just get a little bit too soft. And even on their offensive side, they didn't attack as much. So that could be, you know, part of it as well. But are you worried about that at all, that little bit of a passive mentality when you are in a comfortable situation? Because something I liked under Fangio, we saw a little bit under Desai, is that continued attack mentality.
Yeah, no, I think I also just have to see how it plays out with the Bears. And, you know, obviously their team is different from what's going to happen here in Chicago. But if that starts to be, I don't know, something that consistently happens, then, yeah, you definitely are worried about it. We got to see who he brings in as his defense coordinator. Again, there's no guarantee that Sean Desai now is with the building. He actually did, or he was requested to interview with the Seattle Seahawks, and that came out, what, maybe 2 weeks ago now. But I think the biggest thing, and I'm pretty sure all Bears fans are kind of wondering this, how does a Matt Eberflus kind of impact and help the growth of a Justin Fields? Like, that's going to be main question, priority number one. And that's why a lot of us, you know, including Will and I, we're probably looking at this head coaching hire. Maybe it's going to be somebody on the offensive side, someone who could bring in the offense, who knows how to develop like younger quarterbacks, because that is the main priority. The Bears are not going to get anywhere if Justin Fields is not making consistent progress. So how does a Matt Eberflus help that? Well, it's got to obviously be with the staff, but that's going to be the biggest question mark. And until we figure out who those people are that are being brought into the building to help with that growth, that development, that's going to be the biggest thing that I don't know if I want to say skeptical on, but that's the question and the answer that I kind of want to see come, you know, just be solved, I guess, in the next couple of days. And, you know, I'm sure like when the press conferences happen, I would think probably tomorrow now, that's got to be one of the main questions, whether, you know, someone's going to definitely ask it when we're there at House Hall. But I think that is the one thing that I'm thinking about. So we have a guy very defensive oriented, first time as a head coach. You have Justin Fields over there. What are you going to do to help him become the quarterback that he needs to be for this franchise to take the next step?
Obviously, he had some great answers to Ryan Poles yesterday for that exact question, because he would not have been hired if he did not have an answer to that excited Ryan, that kind of meshed with his vision for this team as well. And again, a couple days ago when Ryan was hired, and you know, the chat was a lot more positive then. You and Mason did a great job of selling him to me. I feel like I'm giving him, again, the benefit of the doubt here. And speaking of Mason, he is here, and we can bring him in right now. Mason, yet again, zooming from work to get, and zooming in terms of like in the car, not like the software, to get on this show to give us your thoughts on Matt Eberflus, the Chicago Bears' new head coach. What's your gut reaction, man?
I am excited. If you listen to our previous podcast where Nick was looking at the GMs and I was looking at the head coaches, this was my number two candidate, right behind Brian Flores and right ahead of Byron Leftwich. It's definitely a shift from the previous regime, you know, in terms of thought process. And I know I don't want to repeat too much of you guys have already said, tried listening to that as much as I could on my way over here. But like Nick was talking about, like you were talking about, Will, you know, definitely someone that's going to emphasize hard work. He's going to hold people accountable. That was something that wasn't really done in the last regime. I mean, Barry basically led the league in almost every personal penalty you could like have established that was going on there. And that's going to hopefully a culture that would infuse throughout the entirety of the organization and not just something that would stick to defense. And yes, I mean, there's a lot of people that wanted an offensive first person, but we also saw what that was like. I mean, that wasn't something that worked well with the current, with the setup that was had here. I mean, yes, it works in other places, but even in other places, you are seeing a kind of a main head coach who's more of a CEO role and a really good coordinator that's doing some of the calls. I mean, look at the Chiefs. Andy Reid is, yes, the architect of it, but Byron Leftwich, who's currently up for potentially that Jaguars job, I guess would really be the only other option for him right now, is getting the look because he was the coordinator. So it really may not be all that different here, right? You have Eberflus as the CEO of the team who's in charge, establishes the culture, the hard work thought process, and you find a good offensive coordinator and let's roll.
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge for him right now. And you know, obviously, he must have dropped some names that meshed well, as I mentioned, with polls. And we'll find out who those are soon. And that's when I'm going to really start drawing conclusions and how I feel like this is going to go sooner rather than later. Mason, do you have any like major concerns that Nick and I haven't like hit on yet, or any that you want to just kind of like share yourself?
No, I mean, I think you guys hit the overarching theme that the going on. It's really most people in the chat you can see are freaking out about when it comes to, but what about the offense? And I'm gonna wait. You know, you have to wait to see what that staff looks like. So until then, there's no reason to freak out about it. You see plenty of teams do well with a defensive head coach that can consistently replace their offensive coordinator because you know they keep bringing in good people because of the people, you know, the higher ups, because of the GM, because of the head coach, etc. And you know, at this point in time, it's in polls we trust. And if you're gonna be excited about the polls hire, you can't be putting down this hire because this was Poles' decision. He picked this person, even though, you know, Quinn was in theory, the favorite. Quinn seemed like maybe the favorite for like a Bill Polian and a George McCaskey, but no, you know, Poles went with this person. In terms of the defense himself, there's some fit stuff that you question a little bit. Like, I know he really likes the long-armed linebacker. We know Roquan doesn't necessarily fit the body type, but it's Roquan Smith. He's going to find a role for him. He's going to do well with that. So I think that's kind of nitpicking if you go that route. But so in terms of negativity, I don't have a problem with this hire. I mean, the only issue I had in it was the offensive question mark, and we can't answer that right now.
Exactly. Something that we'll have to kind of be patient to figure out. Nick, Mason said, you know, this is a Ryan Poles hire, but I do see via the chat a lot of fans are saying this feels like a Bill Polian hire. Do you have any rebuke to that right now? Obviously, they said, you know, when Poles got hired, his one condition was like, let me run these interviews, let me run the show. I don't know why I trust it, because there's been a lot of reasons why I shouldn't trust the franchise, you know, wholeheartedly, but I do. I think this was a Poles hire.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm just trying to look. Obviously, Bill Polian was a general manager, team president from 1998 to 2009. And Matt Eberflus was not a part of the Colts organization. Like, I mean, look, this is one of the guys that he would have a personal connection with due to the working, just their resumes, right, where they had been. And based off of what the Bears were kind of tweeting out, Ryan Poles was the one conducting these interviews once he was hired. So to the people saying this is a Bill Polian hire, I don't think that's correct in you know, the slightest. So I think, you know, what Ryan Poles did is obviously those three people that the Bears kind of narrowed it down to in terms of head coaching candidates. Ryan Poles probably had an opinion or like obviously saw them in a good light as well, because, you know, those are the people that he interviewed. And yes, maybe there was like Jim Caldwell was in the building when Ryan Poles was. I know that can kind of go back to 2015 a little bit with Todd Bowles and Ryan Pace, but it seemed like Ryan Poles had already an idea of who these guys were, how they would click, and he just needed to go and interview them himself. So I don't think that's a case where this is a Bill Polian hire. This is a Ryan Poles hire. Now we just have to wait and see. Like, if you're being, I guess, half glass empty already, I mean, you're entitled to do that, but we just wait it out. See who he brings in for this, you know, offensive staff. And then we can kind of make an assessment. Maybe obviously, you know, even like maybe midway through the season or later in the season, but to do it already right now, I get it. We're Bears fans. We have to be, you know, a little reserved at all times with everything. But hey, the Bears have a new head coach. They have a new general manager. Matt and Ryan are back 2.0. Like, let's see how this plays out.
And Tony in the chat, too, mentioned a good point that I had in my notes that I didn't get to yet, was the fact that in Indianapolis, he was hired by Josh McDaniels, who, of course, abandoned the Colts, went back to New England. And with the new coaching coming in, you know, Frank and everything in Indy, he stayed on. And I think that does speak volumes of the type of coach that Eberflus is and how respected he is around the league and how much trust that they put in him for that defense. I think bodes well. So up next, I want to kind of gauge your guys' opinion on the process here in general. Did the Bears move a little bit too fast? Because the coaching market wasn't really moving all that much just yet. But first, Nick, I'm going to go back to you because I know you have a message for our listeners from our pals over at Owen.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to tell you about Owen, which stands for Only What You Need. As you guys know, Owen and the Chicago Audible have partnered up, and you can get 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com with the code TCA20. They have a bunch of great protein shakes on there, the No Nut Butter Cup, and I just finished drinking right before it went live. I was like, hey, let me finish breakfast before I can get on. Got the chocolate one if you're watching, and if you're listening, it's a chocolate elite protein shake. Tastes great, 35 grams of protein. So go check that out at liveowen.com and use the code TCA20. But I have to tell you about the awesome contest that Owen has going on right now. They're giving you an opportunity to win an autographed Justin Fields jersey and cleats. One grand prize winner will get all of that. 2 second prize winners will get a signed official football. And 4 third prize winners will get an autographed jersey. Amazing prizes. How do you get in on this? All you got to do is go to liveowen.com/Justin Fields. Then all you got to do, you'll see a page. Justin Fields is posing with one of the Owen shakes. Type in your first name and your email, and you're entered in to win. So go do that. Tell your family members, your friends, your grandmother, whoever it is, and go enter in to win all those great prizes. And also, while you're on the site, go check out some of the Owen's products. They are really awesome. I love using them, and you won't regret it. So use the code TCA20 at checkout. But good luck, everybody, and it's only what you need.
Man, I hope someone's grandma wins that Justin Fields jersey. That'd be a great way for it to go out. So, of course, you're listening to the Chicago Audible. I'm Russell DeWitt, joined by my co-hosts Nicholas Moriano and Mason West. We are breaking down and kind of reacting to the fresh news that just broke that the Bears are hiring Matt Eberflus as their new head coach. And, guys, I just want to know, you know, when you look around the league, no one is really getting hired just yet for the head coaching positions. Ryan Poles just got here. He interviewed 3 guys, Jim Caldwell, Dan Quinn, Matt Eberflus, and Mason, I want to go to you. Do you wish he would have expanded that pool just a little bit? I know there were some other names that we talked about over the last couple of weeks. Are you okay with the process that kind of unfolded?
So from my understanding, and a lot of people didn't like this part of the process, I was fine with it, but when they're looking at GMs and they were looking at head coaches at the same time, they were talking to those GM candidates and saying, okay, who are some coaches you would want to bring in, right? And so I'm sure the same thing, and that's what it seems like was done with Poles. And Poles, to my understanding, said, you know, so these 3 guys that were the finalists, you got Quinn, you got Caldwell, you got Eberflus, were part of the coaches that he would be happy with. And so then, right, that got narrowed down. So it wasn't simply like, all right, Poles, here are your 3 options, pick from these 3. He was content with that. He was happy with that. So that's one part of the conversation. In terms of like the speed at which this is moving, yes, this is only the second head coach signing. But as the process as a whole, I mean, if you think about it, Ryan Pace was hired, I believe, 10 days in, and we're already on almost close, getting close to 17, 18, something like that, I think, in terms of the days. So the process as a whole has been slower across the league. In previous years, it's been significantly faster. So you have to compare that as well. And on top of that, there's just been so much work done on these guys, whether it's the Zoom calls, because that's sped up a lot of stuff. You don't have to have as many in-person things because you're able to do the Zoom talks. And yes, you know, there wasn't a report of Poles bringing in 2 more people. But as a whole, too, when you look at some of these head coach candidates, there wasn't one or two that really to me was like, this is the guy this year. I mean, I know some people, for example, felt that way about Brian Daboll, but what you're hearing with his interviews, I mean, he hasn't been signed yet. I mean, it might be Flores in New York, and it was almost assured that he would be the guy there, especially with Shane being hired as the GM, the connections that they have there. And so with all of that, you know, I think the process worked. You got the GM that a bunch of other teams wanted over the last couple of years. You got a head coach candidate that, as we said previously, seems like this is Poles' person. You have to wait and see. It wasn't offense or bust, and it is the biggest thing.
Yeah. How about you, Nick? How do you feel about how it kind of unfolded over the last couple of days?
Well, I think for me, the process was just different from what the Bears had previously done. And obviously they went one way and kind of sped up the process really quickly. Even when they hired Matt Nagy 2 days after that wild card loss to the Titans, he was a Bears head coach, right? So they kind of made that jump and were quick to make that hire. But this one, it was thought out. You had the 5-person panel. You had all these interviews. They, like, all the names, guys, like, we were on Twitter constantly, like, oh, the Bears have another candidate. So they were thoroughly looking into each and every person that they could to potentially get this right. So I do like that. Mason, you mentioned Brian Daboll. I think it does, and we don't know this for sure, I think it does say something that he maybe wasn't requested to get interviewed by Ryan Poles, because they did overlap in Kansas City for 1 year. Brian Daboll was the OC there in 2012, and obviously Ryan Poles was there. I wonder if that kind of said something, and obviously Brian Daboll isn't the head coach yet or hasn't been a solidified lock with the Giants, so I wonder if that does say something. But I was really, really high on what he could potentially do for Justin Fields, and that was the big pull for me. But I think the process of how they kind of went about this, who they identified the candidates to, and how they kind of, you know, showed. Look, I know we're going to talk about conviction and saying that we don't want to hear that word ever again when it comes to the Bears because of Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, but you do need that. And Ryan Poles does have that kind of conviction, that aggressiveness. And, you know, he went with Matt Eberflus. And now, like we've been saying all the time, and I know a lot of people in the chat are, I think, you know, pretty, they're not happy with the hire, I would see, for majority. Gotta wait it out, man. Just wait it out. Let's see how this roster shapes out. And I don't know how many times we're going to say that from now until week one, but it feels like it's going to be a lot because of all the, you know, just, I guess, instant reaction, this negative instant reaction. But yeah, it makes sense. This could backfire in the Bears. Who knows? But we're not going to know right here on January 27th, right? That's not where it's going to happen. Once we get into the season, see how this roster's shaping out, how the games are being played, then we'll get a better idea. But I like the process, and I like how they kind of went down, solidified who they wanted to be the next general manager head coach, and now the Bears got it. And look, Senior Bowl's next week. You have start filling up this roster, send guys down there, your scouts, and start building up this roster. And now they have the two main pieces to kind of start doing that.
They sure do. I know Jeff Hughes over at the Bears blog has been pretty much right on top of everything throughout this process. And I know we like to go through other sources as well, but he did mention that at least with like the committee and inside the building, there was kind of a split between Quinn as well as Caldwell. And Ryan Poles said, no, we're going to go with Eberflus. So if that is exactly the case, again, this was a Ryan Poles hire. And then as I keep scrolling, one of our good pals, Lester Wiltfong Jr. From Windy City Gridiron, makes a really good point that I didn't think about. I love this perspective that if Eberflus is like this defensive genius and is really good with like coverages and disguising, then he should be able to kind of go to Justin Fields. And he mentioned, Nick, that passing game coordinator experience and kind of teach him, like, all right, here are some coverages and this is how we're going to beat him, because he'll know the Achilles heel to all those different coverages as well. So maybe that is kind of like a backhanded way to kind of help Justin, even from a defensive perspective instead of just an offensive-minded approach. It's all about those different perspectives, guys.
Absolutely. I saw someone in the chat real quick. Has nothing to do with that, but they're gone now, the comment. But he's like, I guess Matt and Ryan are still our football guys. And I just that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. So I'm sure we'll get a bunch of memes and jokes about that over the next coming days, and, you know, all for it. But yeah, no, that is a good, you know, just something to think about in terms of what Matt Eberflus, like I was mentioning, well, like, what can Matt Eberflus do for Justin Fields? That's a good point by Lester, that he could do that at least. Now you find the quarterback's coach, you find the OC, and let them kind of mold this young quarterback who's just at the Bulls game yesterday. Look, you know, everyone's talking about his fit and stuff and swapping jerseys with DeRozan and LaVine. But, yeah, he is the center of attention. We need him to be – now we just need to play, like, the way that, you know, Bears fans need and what this team ultimately needs. But, you know, just got to trust that process to see how it all plays out.
You know, the kid in me appreciates maybe this old school or approach, at least going back to like my childhood, those Lovie Smith days. You know, you mentioned he was, you know, looking into Lovie Smith, influenced by him a bit. I know Rod Marinelli, kind of from the same tree as well. So there are some good connections there that going back to like almost like, you know, my heydays of watching Chicago Bears football. And heck, Lovie was fired after a 10-6 year, just barely missed the playoffs. So if he's coming from, not the same exact, if he's like the new age, like Lovie with an attitude or something like that, may not be the worst case for the Chicago Bears. Mason, I want to go over to you. It's been a while. Anything new?
Something that popped up that I think we need to pay attention to is Ian Rappaport tweeting that with the Bears having finalized their deal with Matt Eberflus, what's next for Justin Fields is a big question. Eagles passing game coordinator Kevin Petullo, I hope I didn't butcher that name, is a name to watch for their new OC. When you look at where he was at, so he's currently the passing game coordinator of the Eagles, as I just said, but he was the pass game specialist back in 2020 with the Colts. Before that, he was the wide receivers coach with the Colts, so he clearly got elevated there from 2018 to 2019. He's been with Texas A&M, you know, so he was actually back with the Bills at one point as an offensive quality control assistant. So there's a lot of connections going on there. Another name that's floating around right now, because both Matt Eberflus as well as Poles are Trace Armstrong candidates, is there's, you look at other Trace Armstrong candidates. I'm not a big fan of this name, but Joe Brady has been floated around out there for OC just because of that connection. And we've actually seen more recently, not as many hires directly with this is who I've worked with. We've seen more recently there have been some hires of offensive coordinators, you know, passing game coordinators, et cetera, et cetera, who they've never worked with before. They just know this is a good person. This person can run this part of the team, whether it's offense or defense. Hey, go ahead and take that off my plate. So there's other names floating around out there, like a Pep Hamilton too. They haven't really crossed, but he would be, I think, fantastic in the offensive coordinator role because of what he's done before. So yeah, just got to keep our eyes peeled for some of these things that keep popping up little by little.
Yeah. Nick, is there anyone currently on staff that you would like to see retained? I was thinking about it myself as Mason was talking, and I just want a clean house. You know, maybe there'll be an assistant here or there that he likes and will keep around, but I feel like with as much of a sour taste as the last kind of, you know, regime left in my mouth throughout the last season or two, I'm ready for just a whole freshness, you know, from top to bottom.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the direction they go to. Like, Bill Shuey, the linebackers coach, outside linebackers coach, did a phenomenal job with that group. So maybe little, you know, the position group coaches are a few that maybe we can single out. Like, hey, that would still be a good, you know, good guy to have on this team. But in terms of, like, the OC, the defense coordinator, like, if Sean Desai goes, like, hey, it's probably what's best, right? And because I think Matt Eberflus has a maybe different version of this defense, or is going in maybe a different direction. But I, for the most part, I would say that's probably what you need. You just look, Madden, the names Madden and Ryan are still here, but we just need an entirely different, I think, staff to really make this organization run. Just one other thing too, like we talk about, like, yeah, it's mostly offensive guys that are getting head coaches, and that's been, you know, primarily true, right? I mean, when you look at the previous coaches from, what is it, let's see if I can find the stat here. From 7 of the 11 head coaches hired in the past two hiring cycles from 2019 to 2020 were offensive head coaches. But someone that I immediately think of that's had success, Brandon Staley, being someone that doesn't fit that trend of offensive coaches. You see what he's doing. And look, there's Justin Herbert there, mm-hmm. right? Having an amazing, you know, sophomore season. And Brandon Staley's not an offensive guy. Defensive, clearly, obviously being with under Vic Fangio and stuff. So we've seen in another organization that things can work out. And yes, Justin Herbert is an up-and-coming, I think, superstar. Now we got to see where Justin Fields can go. So anybody that's going to bring that up, I get it. But it can be done. And now the Bears just need to put the right people in place to ensure that they can get that growth out of the quarterback, but also just the organization as well to be competitive. Like, the Chargers are kind of heading in that direction. But Staley, a very recent person that can show, like, you can hire defense and still have success in the offensive end. So let's see if Eberflus, Ryan Poles, and guys can get the right staff in place to kind of put themselves on that trajectory as well.
That's a very good point. I saw someone in the chat said maybe, you know, Chris Tabor, bring him back for special teams. That's a good point as well. You know, that third phase was very strong under Tabor. Got better each and every season that he was here. So that's a really good point. I overlooked that, and I apologize. That it would be someone that, if he is retained, I don't think I'd have any reservations with that. You know, he was the guy when Nagy was out with COVID, you know, took over the head coaching duties, and things were fine. So I think he is well-respected, well-liked, and, again, a really good coach. So thank you so much for pointing that out. Guys, is there anything else that you want to talk about right now? I feel like we did a great job of reacting and kind of breaking down what we know so far and kind of saying what Eberflus brings to the table, what's the pros, some of the cons, some of those big question marks. And as we've all said, this is one hire, but as we go forward, you know, who he brings to run the offense is going to be equally as important for the success of this football team. And that's when I'm really going to start drawing, you know, my judgments on the direction of the Chicago Bears here in 2022. Nick or Mason, anything else you wanted to add?
I really don't have anything. Like you said, Will, we are going to have to wait and see who the other people are that are now going to be a part of this new wave of Bears, right? New wave of under management, things like that. So that's what Matt Eberflus brings to the table from, you know, just a little bit of background that we've all kind of looked up, what he's capable of, how he can impact Justin Fields, how he can impact this defense, how he can impact this team. But now with the transactions that you'll see eventually happening, the people being put in place and how they kind of run things, we'll start seeing. You know what? This is like a little thing. Like, one thing where I know this team will be in the right direction, like, Matt Nagy was late to every single press conference, you guys. Legit, we'd get an email saying, hey, starts at 11:10, 11:50, 12 o'clock. It's like, you know what? I know just meeting the media, it's like maybe not the biggest deal, but you had a time. Be there at that time. And, you know, maybe that is reflective also of how these teams were in terms of lack of discipline, things like that. But if we see Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles show up at noon tomorrow and they're there at noon, like, I already know we're on, you know, a good direct. Maybe it means nothing, but that always bugged me, being at Hallis Hall just waiting, you know, in the media room. Like, they sent us like an email like 40 minutes ago. Where the hell are they? So right. That might be something that, you know, maybe is I'm thinking too much into, but hey, that's a start.
No, I love it. I mean, that is self-accountability. And if he didn't have any for himself, we saw that trickle down throughout the team. And really, the blatant disrespect for those in the media, you know, the ones that cover the team, get the fans, you know, the information that they need, drive the narrative, and to not respect your guys' time as much as, you know, he probably should. I think you're right to be a little bit miffed. And also, it could be, you know, a good point about the type of person he was. And let's see if the new era begins a little bit more punctually. Mason, final thoughts?
Man, I'm just like reading this chat right now, and it's like they hired a high school coach, apparently, to run this team. Like, he runs a fantastic defense. It's been, let's see here, like top two last year in terms of, which one was this, turnover percentage, going back to, again, kind of that Bears plot, ranked 11th in points allowed in terms of DVOA, which is just basically how efficient you are if you're an analytics person. They have the 8th ranked defense. Why are you so upset about that? That's fantastic. And look at a team that everyone's raving about, the Bills. They have a defensive head coach, right? And he happened to find a coordinator that worked. And to Brian Daboll, who in his previous stops wasn't even a hot name, right? Sometimes you just need someone to run your team. And you, that person who can run your team then finds good people. Chill, relax. Like, you're acting like this is the end of the world. This is the worst hire ever. It's like as Bears fans, we're just ready to hate everything they do. I don't think anyone that would have been hired this cycle, you would have seen the chat happy about. We would have had stuff to be mad about. Just chill. Like, be happy that we have a direction. Man.
Honestly, we had it really good a couple of days ago. Everyone was, you know, holding hands, singing Kumbaya, and life was good. And that's life of a Bears fan. We know it all too well. You have the ups, and then you know, sometimes we'll all come together, like polls, like a Justin Fields, but more times than not, things get divided up a few different ways amongst all of us. I do see in the chat too, and I just kind of want to make this clear that, you know, Eberflus does have a sister with the last name McCaskey, and people are starting to draw like those lines. I looked it up. It's not the same family branch. I'm not, you know, related to every DeWitt out there in the world. I know, Nick, you're not related to every Moriano and Mason.
I'm related to Kanye. What are you talking about?
There you go. I thought that, you know, mm-hmm. Well, isn't he just Ye now?
Yeah, that's true. I need to change mine just to May.
May or Ma. That, see, terrible. All right. Well, I'm going to call this actually real quick before I call an episode. Let's grade the hire. I'm going to give it a B+. Just because I feel good about it based off of our conversation here. Were there guys that I wanted maybe a little bit more? Yeah, but Mason, you hit it. There wasn't like the one guy out of this coaching circle, like the crop that we had to kind of pick with right now. So I'm good with it. So I'm going to give it a B+, and maybe that's a little bit too high. I'm sure I'm going to get shredded in the chat for it, but I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic the best I can, because being a Debbie Downer, even though Debbie Downer DeWitt sounds awesome, I don't want to be. Nick, over to you. What's your grade?
I'll go with a B. Again, I think it's solid. We're going to know a lot more in the next coming days, I think, and obviously when games are being played. But I'll go with a B right now. Obviously, the biggest thing, Justin Fields, how can we get this to be going in the right direction, right? And that's going to be the biggest thing for any of the head coaches that could have been hired in the Bears. But now it's Matt Eberflus's job. So I'll give it a B.
Mason.
So just in and of itself, I'd give it a B+. When you then look at, again, the candidates available that you have, like, you need to have a head coach. You're not going to just take a break and be like, all right, we'll try again next year. We're not the Houston Texans. I would give it then an A-, because based on, again, who you had available this hiring cycle, the culture that's going to be established, and I mean, you're taking a good coach. Like, he's a good coach from everything that we've seen. And we didn't need a retread. That's just, I don't need to see that, the same old bad stories we've seen previously. So, yeah.
Yep. Again, be the CEO, bring in a capable offensive coordinator that shares your vision, that also is the same vision with Ryan Poles on how to best leverage this young, promising, talented quarterback. Bring in an awesome, you know, defensive scheme that holds players more accountable than the previous coaching staff did, and we're already better. And, you know, the Bears have been average, so we can be better than average, and I think that's a good step. But we're not going to immediately be Super Bowl contenders because of who we hired as coach. It's going to take time. Ryan Poles has to build a roster. Eberflus has to coach up that roster, develop these players, and he's a guy who can do that. And I know there are reservations with the offensive side of the ball. Nick, you made a good point about Brandon Staley there in, you know, L.A. with the Chargers. Just got to be patient. We'll see the remaining moves and how they pan out. But for right now, you know, I'm not going to say it's great to be a Bears fan, but it feels better than it did 17 days. Is that how long it's been, Mason? 17 days ago.
Something like that. It's been a while. It's been a decent process. It's not like this happened 5 days in. It wasn't rushed.
No. All right. Well, I'm going to call this an episode. I want to thank everyone here who's in the chat. I saw almost like 900 at one point. I know it's big breaking news. So I appreciate everyone joining us as we kind of talked it out a little bit. If you haven't yet, give this video a like. Even if you don't like the hire, don't dislike the video. It's just us talking. We didn't make the decision. And if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't yet, rate, review us on Apple Podcasts. Every review helps us reach out to more sponsors and help our show reach new heights, which I'm very excited about our future here as well. We'll talk to you soon. If any other breaking news happens, I'm sure we'll be on. And after that press conference, Nick, if you want to hop on and do a podcast to talk about what they said and how we believe, you know, the words that they say, if they carry weight in the direction of this team, I would love to do that with you. Mason, you're more welcome to join if work will allow, and we'll reconvene then. How's that sound, guys?
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good.
All right. Until next time, Bear Down, Chicago.